Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. Well, we're into September right now, and again, like history, our country and our nation, our President Obama is rushing headlong into another war. As we look at all the things that are happening, one of the concerns are is what is happening in the past, what is happening now, what could possibly happen. So tonight we're going to discuss it. The Progressive Radio Network is about moving forward, giving you information, education, giving you resources to understand that. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about all the documents and all the information in what's called Beyond Treason, an incredible documentary that was put together and many of us were involved in it. If you do not have a copy of something you need to get a hold of, it again is a companion volume to the work that Gary Knoll has done with his Killing Our Own, where you also need to get those things. So tonight we're going to talk about this and talk about the reality of nuclear, biological, chemical warfare. My guests tonight are Joyce Riley and Patricia Axelrod, and I don't know if Denise will join us, but either way. Joyce, are you there? Joyce? Patricia?
I'm here. Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Hopefully Joyce will call in. Denise, are you by chance joined us? Okay. Well, let's start a little bit. Patricia, I mean, your background, you've actually been over to into the Middle East. You went into the Balkans, did on-site investigations. Did you go into Iraq also and done on-site investigations?
Yeah, yes, I did. And for those who don't know me, I conduct the Desert Storm Think Tank and All Veterans Advocate, which was seeded by a grant I received from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. And unfortunately, Doug, even as we speak right now, there are four destroyers steaming into the Mediterranean Sea, getting closer to Syria. It does appear as though there's a high likelihood that we are going to engage in Tomahawk diplomacy, which is egregious at best and is something that can only worsen the situation Syria. And if I could, dear, I'd like to start out with some of the reasons we should not be going into Syria, and most people of good sense probably already know this. It seems as though only 9% of Americans support a U.S. military intervention in Syria. Only 11% of the British support U.K. military intervention. Some 64% of the French people oppose intervention, rather, by the French army. Former and current high-ranking U.S. military officials and officers are speaking out against the use of military intervention. And President Obama, as of yet, has not received U.N. approval for intervention. NATO has not expressed support for this. The Arab League has not expressed support for this. And so I cannot understand what strategy Mr. Obama has in mind. It's absolutely ludicrous for him to believe that he is going to engage in Tomahawk strikes strategically on the five or six factories engaged in CW production in Syria. And that there will be no retaliation thereafter. That's absolutely preposterous.
Okay, hey, Patricia, hold on.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, we've talked about this. Joyce, have you joined us yet?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you very much.
Well,
hey, Joyce.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Joyce Riley. Joyce and I are extremely good friends. We have worked together for a long time. Joyce, you were for real a U.S. Air Force flight combat nurse, weren't you?
Well, I don't know, combat. I was trained, but I never got to perform because the ceasefire came. But, you know, that was my gig, supposed to be my gig, before I was vaccinated heavily and became quite ill as a result of it. So I was proud to be an Air Force flight nurse in the Air Force Reserve, yes.
Yeah, so we got a lot of experience here. And as everybody else, I don't know if Denise has joined us. Denise was a flight nurse also in the U.S. Air Force, and she was on frontline combat operations and doing medevac during Desert Storm. But when we look at all the stuff that's happening, again, we've all worked on this. We've talked about this. One of the claims is, and they just had it on the TV again, I've just looked on the Internet again at the most current stuff, And when they showed it on the news this evening, there again claims was sarin was used in Damascus. And the individual they had on TV claimed the sarin was used right behind him and that all this stuff's contaminated and everything else. And it doesn't work like that because sarin isn't isolated to a 10 or 15 feet radius area. It actually goes for miles and miles and miles all the way around. And it's a liquid that's dispersed as a mist that affects air, water, soil, contamination. Your clothes get contaminated. You get it on your skin gets contaminated. So you have to decontaminate it thoroughly because if you don't, you come in contact, you're going to get sick immediately. And so, again, that where it's come down, all the evidence they've been putting out shows, well, it's kind of contradictory to what it is. And the most recent headline right now is, again, is the evidence is still lacking that it actually happened. But either way, and this is where we want to bring in the Beyond Treason stuff, because the President of the United States has indicated that line has been drawn and that Syria supposedly crossed the line. Well, in history, it's a quite different, isn't it, Joyce?
Well, the alleged president is at the ultimate height of hypocrisy in what he is saying, because the United States government has been the main provider of chemical weapons to any and every country who wants to buy them. They don't care who purchases them or who they get the money from. The only concern is that they get it. So the United States government used biological and chemical weapons, as we know. We could look back at Iraq. We could look at the use of BZ during Vietnam, a drug that was much more potent than LSD. We could look at Operation White Coat, in which they experimented on their own people with drugs. There's all kinds of examples. I mean, it is the height of hypocrisy to be saying, oh my gosh, we need to go bomb this guy because he used chemical weapons, because we sell them all the time. We sold them in Operation Nimble Archer in 19, I believe it was 87, in which the United States sold 45 Bell helicopters. The nozzles were adjusted by our special forces so they could use them on the Iranians. So it's all by design. This is all by design. This is a big game. As you saw with McCain looking at and watching his poker game on television on his iPhone, it's all a game to them. And
yeah,
this is about money, and it's about greed.
This game and everything else, and we have to come back. And if you get the Beyond Treason documentary, watch it or get the documents, or you go online to the Beyond Treason website, what you need to understand, again, the U.S. Senate has confirmed all this stuff because we have the RICO Commission report, and this whole entire report is discussed in the Beyond Treason video. All the documents are on the accompanying disc that has all the documents there. So what we know from the work of Jim Toot, and again, this is from the RICO report, and was also featured in a movie we did for Showtime called Thankful Grateful Nation, is the U.S. sold all of this stuff to Iraq, gave it to Iraq back in the 80s, and because of that, we knew where it was. In December of 1990, and I was involved in this, Bowers Raiders were involved. Joyce, you've seen the documentation. Patricia, you've seen all the documentation, so it all exists. It's actually in the Beyond Treason site. And what we did is we made the decision in December of 1990 we were going to blow up Iraq's chemical and biological stockpiles in place because the U.S. gave them to them and we knew where they were. Well, this is the height of hypocrisy because there is no such thing as a surgical strike. And Patricia, Joyce, myself, Denise, all of us, we have worked hard for years trying to get medical care for everybody because what happened when we went in there, made the decision to destroy all this stuff in sight, all we did was like hitting an ice cube with a hammer. We spread it all over creation, creating incredible contamination. The other thing, too, especially with sarin, cyclosarin, taboon, nunchucks, any of this stuff, if Syria did actually have it, if we go in there with a Tomahawk missile strike, and Patricia, you're an expert in missiles and everything else. You did the work on the Patriot missile. All this stuff is going to spread this stuff all over. So we're talking about...
It certainly is. That's absolutely the truth. It's going to spread it all over. We're going to be gassing those people.
Yeah, so we're going to contaminate everybody in Syria. We're going to get everybody in Lebanon. We're going to get everybody in Israel. Because we know, absolutely know, when medical evidence is there, all of us have worked with it, my medical evidence is there, when Kamacia blew up, I was 200 miles away, as a lot otherwise, we have the total medical evidence of confirmation of exposure to sarin 200 miles from the site that the time happened, and that's what Bob Haley's incredible work has been done down at Texas Southwest. So here we have a thing where they're talking about a surgical strike to degrade. If they use conventional explosives that go in there and blow everything up, you're not going to destroy the chemical or biological emissions if they even existed. All you're going to do is spread them all over creation. And now
most
we're going to have a nightmare.
Yeah, most decidedly. And that's going to, the effect of it is going to be wholly contingent upon the air and wind speeds. And my opinion of all of this is that if we are genuinely concerned about the Syrian people, why aren't we equipping them with defensive means? Why aren't we placing detectors out there? Why aren't we installing foxes? Why aren't we deploying fox detection systems? The way to protect people is to give them sufficient warning, as much warning as you can. So
you know,
if we're genuinely concerned...
We talk about the warning, and this is the same thing, and I've asked, and I've not got a single question answered, and a congressman I've talked to have asked the question. With the sarin and everything, we have the M8 and the M9 paper and tape. We have the M256 detector kits. They could have been used immediately. They could have been used even weeks later to determine
Absolutely.
Whether sarin was there because it would detect it. And as of a few minutes ago, there's still no valid proof. So we have all of this stuff is happening. Joyce, in all of your work, I mean, you've been running a radio show, you've done Beyond Treason, you've done lots of documentaries, you talk to vets all the time. What do you think they would think about all of the rush headlong into war again?
Well, I think that's very simple. I mean, the fact that 91% of the people are against this, Doug, against this war, I think it's probably 100% against it in the military, unless you're talking about the 17, 18-year-old kids who want to go kill or want to go fight or want to go be in a war. You know, that's their goal. If anybody that has an ounce of sense knows that because allegedly Assad killed his people with chemical weapons, it's okay for us to go and kill him with cruise missiles now. So it's okay if you kill him with cruise missiles, but it's not okay with the other weapons. I mean, the United States, who has used chemical weapons so often, who possesses them, who is a, you know, signed with the Chemical Weapons Convention and re-ratified it in, what was it, 1997, and yet we are the height of hypocrisy in having the weapons, selling the weapons. I think the military is absolutely 100% against. But
yeah,
this
when
is
we
all
use...
agenda, and it's all created, because nobody in their right mind says it's okay to go and jump in a sovereign nation and start bombing it with cruise missiles. I mean, this is incredibly not stupid. It is by design.
Let me also bring up the point that the reason Syria has these weapons and the reason there are so many weapons over there in the Middle East and amongst the Arab countries is because they're all fearful of Israel. And Israel has in the past, rather recently as a matter of fact, as late as 1998, was known to have used chemical weapons against the Palestinian population. We used white phosphate in Iraq in this past war. Egypt is not a signatory, I might add, to the CW Treaty, nor is Israel. And yet we continue to support and encourage both of these nations one way or the other. I will remind you, of course, that we poisoned thousands upon thousands, perhaps as many as a million people, with Agent Orange and Agent Brown and Agent White during the Vietnam War, and that those people are still suffering the consequences thereof in Vietnam, and our own veterans are still suffering the consequences thereof.
You know, the other thing, while we're talking about Agent Orange, let's bring this up. In Rantoul, a Chinook Air Force base, it has been confirmed now that the U.S. Air Force did use Agent Orange on Chinook Air Force Base back in the 60s into the 70s by the individual that did it. And the health effects are there. We've got total confirmation again that Agent Orange is buried in the landfills and all this stuff, and we got total contamination in the ground and water supplies, and we're now a Superfund site. And that's all reported in the Rantoul Press. Out of Rantoul, Illinois, so you can pull the stories out. But when we look at Agent Orange, the effects are devastating. But then also we look, and this is the same thing we have happening, where we've got the depleted uranium munitions because of the cruise missiles and all the other explosives. We got conventional explosives, but we also have all the radioactive munitions. So going back to 1943 with the Groves Memorandum, and Joyce, this is again in Beyond Treason, it was a directive by the S2 Committee to use radioactive materials to contaminate air, water, and soil in the war in Germany and Japan. And then we got all the stuff with depleted uranium, which I ended up having to clean up the mess and suffer the consequences of. But we also know, and again, this is something that we learned from Vieques, Puerto Rico, the U.S. military contaminated Vieques, Puerto Rico with chemical and biological warfare. They also used conventional explosives. They used radiological materials. Now, the horrible thing is all this stuff, and again, this is in Beyond Treason stuff, ladies and gentlemen, conventional explosives and residues have incredible toxic compounds. I mean, horrific toxic compounds. And then when you mix this with the radioactive munitions that we've used all over without any hesitation, and Patricia, you actually measured the DU contamination in the Balkans, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Yes, I went around with a Geiger counter. And so that I would see this signature with, you know, with my own eyes. And not only when we speak of so-called depleted uranium or radiological weapon, radioactive weaponry, which is rather, I'd rather call it, we are not only talking about naturally the radiological effect, we're talking about the toxic effect. So in using so-called depleted uranium, we are using not only radiological weaponry, we are also using chemical weaponry, and we are forevermore changing the genetic legacy of the people that we use this against.
Yeah, so, it goes an extraordinarily long distance. I mean, in the areas we've got, the again, the citation, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, they have a reference and guidelines, quote, approaches for the remediation of facility sites contaminated with explosives or radioactive waste. And this is an EPA document, EPA 625. R-93013, contaminated with explosive radioactive waste in September of 1993. Now, one thing that I learned from all of my work in Iraq and Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, doing all the research at the Nevada test site, is when we mix the radioactive munitions and everything with the conventional explosives, we can't clean up the mess. It's virtually impossible to clean up this mess. And so here now we're going to say we're going to go in and attack a nation. We're going to use our bombs and everything, and somehow this is going to isolate. Well, first off, when they blow up whatever they're going to blow up, they're going to kill and destroy. They're going to contaminate air, water, and soil. It's going to go for hundreds and hundreds of miles. And I think the geography of the area, everybody thinks that, you know, great distances, but these countries are very small, and the distances between them are extraordinarily small. So you can put this whole area just like inside Missouri and Illinois without any problems at all. And so the contamination spread from this nonsense is just going to be devastating. Now, both of you guys have worked. Joyce, you've worked for a long time on this. What is the level of contamination? It's really low to create health problems. Isn't it way below what anybody wants to consider?
Well, of course. And you know, that's the reason that the deception goes on with the U.S. government in attempting to make everyone feel as though if you're complaining, you're just, number one, just a complainer, and number two, you know, you're a weak military person. They don't want people to know how extremely significant and damaging these items are, chemical and biological weapons. You know, let me give you an example. Just after, I mean, to talk about the amounts of chemical weapons, and I appreciate your mentioning Beyond Treason, and if there's anybody listening who has not seen Beyond Treason, I will send them a free copy of the documentary. All you have to do is go to beyondtreason.com or just call us at the Power Hour at 877-817-9829, and I'll send you a free copy. You don't have to send any information or anything. If you're military, prior military, or thinking about joining the military, I'll give you a free copy of Beyond Treason. But after the war, the Gulf War, and you talk about the Muthana facility or the Camisea facility, for example, here's what they found just at Muthana: 13,155 millimeter artillery shells loaded with mustard gas, 6,200 rockets loaded with nerve agent, on and on and on, 28 Scud missiles loaded with sarin. All of this provided by the United States, the UK, Russia, and transshipped through Jordan. So this is all a game, but you see, the average person is not as smart as your listener. your guests and your listeners understand all what's going on here. And this is a charade to get us into a war, and I think it's to get us into war with Syria and Iran, and I think it's just going to go from there. I think we're looking at World War III.
The horrible thing is, because when we look at all this stuff, and again, it's coming on back on down to the gas and the oil, okay? And that's kind of where it is talking about, because when we look at what's happening, and this is, again, a report that was put by together by Bill Engdahl, and the Syria, Turk, Israel, and the Great Middle East Energy War. And what it talks about is the Gazprom pipeline, and, again, a pipeline coming out of Iraq that's going to head into Turkey and everything off to the coast, and these areas right there. So, again, they've got to get these pipelines in place so we control everything. The crazy thing about this, and I'm looking at the pipeline maps right here, this is all part of the Gazprom and everything else. And, again, they've got to go through Syria to get into Turkey and then get out to the coast and everything else. There's incredible natural gas and oil resources in Syria and off the coast all along the Gaza Strip. So, again, all of this stuff is about, you know, about oil control and everything else. But the other thing, and, again, this is part of history, and everybody has watched this and probably not recognize it. Lawrence of Arabia, okay, and that was about all the stuff when he set up the stuff, and basically with the Sykes-Picot Treaty of 1917, they set up Syria and Jordan and Iraq and all of these nations. And again, with the understanding the British and the French and then the Americans would control all the oil resources throughout the Middle East. And again, that is still where it all sits. And it's just devastating because when you look at Syria, and all the stuff I've known, I've not known anybody, does any of you know, or does anybody know that Syria's invaded or attacked another nation or invaded another nation or anything? I mean,
well, Syria's been attacked by Israel, and, you know, Syria and Israel have engaged in warfare. But the fact of the matter is that it wouldn't make a bloody bit of difference what Syria did. They are not threatening the United States. They don't have the capability to do so. And we don't want to prod them into attacking allied nations in the region. And if we do strike now, we can anticipate that the Syrian government is going to retaliate to such a degree so that they will harm more people, more of their own people. There's just no gain in this. There's no gain. It is an insane action.
Well, what are the other problems, too? And let's go down back on down to the nuclear weapons. We know that Israel has a lot of nuclear weapons. We've discussed that on this radio show before. We know that India does. We know that China. We know the Soviet Union does. Okay, what happens at one point, and this terrifies me, if the U.S. decides, well, we're going to attack Syria, and I mean, we're attacking, you know, we've gone in, we've invaded Iraq, we've gone in Afghanistan, we're threatening North Korea, we're bombing in Yemen, we're doing all the stuff supporting Israel and all the stuff they've done in Lebanon on the Gaza Strip with radioactive illegal weapons, I mean, that we gave them to them, we gave them the nuclear weapons. What happens if somebody else says, and the Soviet says, wait a minute, enough of this, or another nation says enough, or Iran says enough, or Syria says, the heck with this stuff. They're so close to Israel that they could take their missiles and completely obliterate Israel without any defense whatsoever. I mean, the whole thing, and this whole area could literally go up in smoke in minutes.
Well, you know, Doug, I think that's the plan. I really do think there is something major that is going to be seen around the corner on this that perhaps we are not looking at. And, you know, the whole idea that we don't have any money to take care of the Gulf War veterans or OAF or OIF and that it's all about, we don't have enough people to do their compensation plans, and you've got to be kidding me. We are bringing them back without one, two, and three limbs, and I've been getting calls from people that have been 9 months. They are a double amputee, and they've gone 9 months without any money because they cannot get a claim through the DOD. I mean, what are we thinking? And see, the people don't know this. They don't know that the average claim takes at least 9 months to get through. And if you're missing two legs and an arm, you can't go out and get a job. And it's the tragic part that they are really waiting for an army to die and just putting out new fodder as we go. And I think this is all about a World War III, and I think we're getting ready to look at it. And September 11th is a perfect day, don't you think?
Well, you know, it scares me because, you know, again, the same thing, and we've done multiple documentaries on September 11th in dealing with that, talking to the individuals who were actually on site, working on the same thing. Willie Rodriguez, who we all know is an incredible individual, actually led the rescues in the World Trade Center up and down the stairwells. He was the last man out of the North Tower before it blew up and came on down. I mean, he raced out of it as explosions are going off, and he dove under a fire truck. But all of this stuff, you know, again, the nonsense been put in place about this stuff over and over and over again. And the whole thing's, and again, this comes to us, you've got a lot of discussion about all of the Black Plague operations are also in Beyond Treason, don't you?
You're talking about the what operations in Beyond Treason?
Mm-hmm.
Which ones are you talking about?
We got the Northwoods and everything else where the documents to plan all these operations.
Oh, the Black Plague, absolutely.
The
I mean, much of what happens is all planned by design. You know, the statement that General Clark made about how, you know, there's seven countries we're going to go after. It is all by design. This is the hardest part to get into people's minds, and you know, is that it is all a fraud. It's all a lie. I had a gentleman on the show the other day. He's a remote viewer, and we were asking him, what is his name, Major Ed Dames, about some remote viewing and what's happening in Syria. And you know, one of the statements that just really hung with me is he said, there is no U.S. government. There is no government. There are a bunch of corrupt people all fighting for something and getting something out of all of this. They are bankrupting this nation, not caring about any of the people. It's all by design. And I think there is a desire, and I think that perhaps Obama has been the key guy to make this whole country go down and implode this nation. And I know that sounds very strong, but I believe it firmly.
Well, you know, when we look at even the confirmation, new revelations together today about the NSA and our old buddies monitoring all the phone calls and the emails, now it's totally confirmed, it's on the Army Times website and all the newspapers, that they breached into all of public communications, so they're, now they're getting into your credit cards, they've got all of your medical records and everything else. And this has nothing to do with national security, but it has everything to do with control of resources and economic and control of people. I mean, that's, again, the same thing where you had all this nonsense where, you know, the IRS is going after all of these peace groups and, you know, right-wing groups or anybody trying to keep everything together. It's frightening. It's truly, truly frightening.
Well, I don't think at this point people understand the seriousness of this or the tinderbox that is in the Middle East. And perhaps your other guests might want to speak to that, that know more about the Middle East because they have been there. But I'm telling you, I think this is all by design. It's all planned to let go at a certain point, and we're just getting ready to see major chaos.
You know, one thing, so let's talk about the geography for a moment because I'm not sure how many people are familiar with geography. One thing I've learned as a teacher, whether I'm teaching, you know, at kindergarten or graduate school, most Americans are devoid of any knowledge of geography. They don't know where things are. We're looking at the eastern end of the Mediterranean, the very eastern end of the Mediterranean. Up at the north, we have Turkey. At the far east of the Mediterranean, right below Turkey, is where Syria is. As we come down the coast there, we have Turkey. This is on the western coast, on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean. We have Turkey, then we have Syria, then we have Lebanon, then we have Israel, and then we come into Egypt. So when we look at the countries again that are off the thing, going to the east from Syria and again south of Turkey is Iraq, where we've all spent too much time. Directly between Iraq, Syria, and Israel, and above Saudi Arabia is Jordan. And again, these are all small areas, very, very small areas and small distances. And then, obviously, we have all of Saudi Arabia, which comes down to the bottom. And then we're at the Gulf where Saudi Arabia, Iraq, and Iran come together. We got Kuwait is put in there on its own. And Kuwait was actually part of Iraq until the French and the British and the U.S. pulled that all out. So, again, it's understanding the geography of this stuff. And Yemen and all this stuff comes into play, and Somalia come into play. And, again, Somalia is another one that bothers me horrifically. As I was acting commander of the 428th at Port Eustis, Virginia in 1993, and I had to dispatch the unit to Somalia. I was the acting commander, and, okay, guys, you got to go. And what we do know happened, and, again, this is part of the medical directives for depleted uranium, again, it's in the Beyond Treason thing, is we had what's called a Somalia message. And what this was, a Somalia message, we forced it out as we did the DU study here, right here at the University of Illinois and CIRL and the Army Environmental Policy Institute. But what they did is we used DU munitions, uranium munitions, in Somalia and contaminated air, water, and soil, and we got a medical directive out requiring medical care within 72 hours, not later than 30 days later, for blowing up facilities, equipment, and everything else. And so all this stuff has been used over and over. The other thing, and this frightens me, and again, we talked about this in Beyond Treason, we talked about this in Gary Noll's videos, Killing Our Own, extraordinarily documentaries, ladies and gentlemen. You need to go to GaryNoll.com, get his documentaries. Joyce has already told you how to get Beyond Treason. But what we did and what we learned as part of the Captured Equipment Project is that the Soviet equipment is chock full of radiological materials. And so when we go in there and destroy Syria or destroy their equipment, we're going to release incredible radiological materials like we did in Libya, aren't we, in Iraq? Are you guys there?
Most decidedly. Yes, of course we will. There's the prospect of this is absolutely beyond the pale, and the repercussions of it are such that I should think that it is not going to be passed through Congress. I understand that the Congress people are receiving overwhelmingly negative replies and responses to the, even the prospect of bombing. And I would think that if he goes forward with this, utilizing the War Powers Act, I might add, that conceivably this could wind up with the impeachment of Mr. Obama.
One thing that makes me very satisfying, and just literally minutes before we came on, I got an email from our Congressman John Shimkus, who's here in Illinois, saying he's not going to go along with the president. So, I mean, this is brand new. This just came out not even an hour ago. So when I know our other Congressman, Rodney Davis, is saying no, so slowly all these people are saying no to this stuff. Because how many more casualties do we have? We're looking at casualty count from Operation Desert Storm now over 60%. We're looking at that's way over 300,000 individuals out of the 500,000 that are left alive. And we're looking at a casualty count for Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom over 60% also. And that's way over a million casualties. And they're fighting for care. And with the VBA, the backlog, last I heard, was over 750,000 backlog trying to get claims through, said we could get prompt and optimal medical care.
Doug, they don't care. You know, they don't care. And the work that you and Denise and Patricia have been doing, incredible work. I don't think people have any idea how you have, you know, poured your hearts out in doing this. They don't care. It's not an issue of theirs. And we have to quit thinking that, oh, gee, if we can just get them to recognize it or understand it or see how sick they are. They know. They know full well. And when you call, you know, the VA and you're wanting to commit suicide and they tell you they can see you in 9 months, that is all by design. They could up this situation if they wanted to, but it is all by design. And people cannot get that through their heads until they do. They keep this idea of, oh, if I can just show them enough information, they'll understand. Well, they are never going to understand because they choose not to, because this is part of the plan.
See, again, that comes with the Beyond Treason. Members of Congress all have Beyond Treason. Members of Congress have been briefed by Denise and I on depleted uranium, as we did with the House Oversight and the GAO when we did, again, working with Trish Faiz and Bernie Sanders. God bless those two. But, again, so the information is all out there. As you know, and all three, both of you know, and Denise, again, all of us know, and we talked about ad nauseum on here, and you've talked about it on your radio show, Joyce, the members of Congress and the DOD are totally aware of the health and environmental effects of all this stuff, because what's in Beyond Treason is not documents that Joyce or Patricia or Denise or Doug created. They're the actual documents from the Department of Defense and the VA confirming the health problems and directing medical care, aren't they, Joyce?
Yes. You know, one day I presented all this information at a college in Michigan. When I went there, the night before I was supposed to speak, the gentleman that had called me to come and speak said, Joyce, we've got a problem. He said, the DOD has called here three times and they don't want you to talk tonight. And I said, really? I said, what are you going to do? And he said, well, if they would ask us three times not to let you speak, I think we need to hear what they have to, what you have to say. Then when I got there at the university and we were getting ready having that dinner that night, he got a phone call and he came back to the table and he was all white and he said, Joyce, the DOD just landed at the Assistant Secretary of Defense's office, just landed, at the airport, and they're going to be at the program tonight. And so I said, fantastic. Then I had a chance to speak to them. And I was not kind either, because I said, you are going to hear the most damning information. There was a huge, huge audience. I said, you're going to hear the most damning information ever regarding the Department of Defense on the biological and chemicals and testing done on our own military without their consent. And I said, and it's all in their documentation, which I'm going to show you. And then I told the three people from the DOD, it was Colonel Thompson was the one in lead, I asked them to stand up and be addressed so that I could talk to them, and they would not do that. And I finally said, look, I'm not going to continue. I'm only a captain, and you are a colonel, and I would like for you to be recognized. They finally stood up, and I said, Colonel, if there is anything that I say here tonight that is not accurate, I want you to correct me immediately, or it will stand. They did not correct one thing that I said, Doug. Not one thing. And it was all about hearing about the truth of what the Department of Defense is doing. And the next day, there was a press conference that the Air Force called, or the DOD called, because they were very unhappy about what I said. And there was an investigative reporter that went, who had been there the night before, and she said, Colonel Thompson, as he was speaking, I think I need to tell you something. I don't think there's one person in this audience that is believing anything that you are saying. And, of course, this was happened to be regarding the sale of biologicals and chemicals to Iraq.
Which is confirmed in a U.S. Senate report, the Rigo Commission report, in Beyond Treason.
Yes, yes. And at that point, they pulled the hook out of the curtain and said, I'm sorry, Colonel, you're needed in Washington. Your plane's ready. And he left. And there was nobody that believed him. You know, they are now in the midst of the biggest fraud, the IRS, the NSA, but it's all been dropped on us one piece at a time, so it's easier. At first, the IRS was just targeting the right, and they said, well, you need to target the left, too. Oh, come on. So that makes it okay to target. And then they targeted both sides, and then they targeted bigger organizations and individual people and the NSA. And the story's gone on and on to where tonight on Fox News they said, well, now everybody knows we're being spied on. Every phone call, every email, everything. Now everybody knows, as if it's all okay. So that's how they're progressing right now. And with the same thing on the Syria chemical weapons, well, we all know that chemical weapons were used on their own people by Assad. Let me remind you, Assad is an ophthalmologist. He is the president of the country who will not even allow his people to have GMOs. Genetically modified food. He says it's not good for my people. He's not going to let them have GMOs, but he's going to go gas them? I don't think so. And I think he was the biggest person, I mean, the biggest shock was on him when he found out that the chemical weapons had been used.
If they even have been used, because again, when we look at it, the videos that I've seen on the news just an hour, not even a little over an hour ago now, and everything else, individuals claiming it was, but then when you look at the casualties, what they look like and how they claim, there's no real indication that the sarin or anything was used, because if it was, and you got to understand, it contaminates everything, and you go in there and you don't have full protective equipment on, you're going to get exposed and you're going to get sick. It's not like this shows up and it disappears and it's only in the lungs. It's on everything. This is one thing we learned. The other thing that the U.S. military and all of us have worked on, the documents I know are in the Beyond Treason stuff, ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand, if you're in the military and they talk about a MOP suit, chemical protective overgarment, CPOG MOP suit, this stuff is only good for a few minutes. Once it gets wet, it's no good. All it is usable if you get into an exposed area to get it on to allow you get out of the area and get totally decontaminated. But at the same time, you have to have all of the antidotes and the medical stuff. So like for sarin, and again, all of us are treated and treated casually, so know about this, you get, if there's sarin, if there's anything else you do, you got to administer atropine, diazepam, and pyridoxamine chloride, multiple doses, within minutes. That's what you have. And if you haven't got that, you're in deep doo-doo. But the other thing, too, is if you're not wearing protective clothing and you go near these casualties, you're going to get cross-contaminated. Patricia, you got contaminated, and you can say what has happened from your contamination. I mean, you yourself got contaminated going into Iraq and the Balkans, and as a consequence have had problems, correct?
Yes, I was ill upon my return from Iraq. And I will say that, also I was ill upon my return from the Balkans.
However, regardless of if they've been used or not, the fact of the matter is that CW chemical weapons are over there. They are considered the so-called poor man's atomic weapon. And the bottom line is that they may well have been used by one side or even both sides. Regardless of that, we can do nothing about this but to provide defensive means and measures to help protect the people. That's all we can do. And I've not heard any discussion of this, of providing atropine, of providing means and ways of protecting the population. I haven't heard any discussion of this, of providing detectors. If we're genuinely concerned, that's what we should be doing. That's the only means and ways that we can possibly intervene in this way.
You know,
that's it.
The one other thing in contamination when it comes down, there have been some discussion and it's come out here to shelter in place. Well, as we all know from engineering and science, and Rollo, our team member who is an expert in high back and everything, reason he was on Bauer's Raiders, is that even when you have a tightly sealed house, you've got 5 to 6 air exchanges per hour. And so all this stuff, there's nothing you can do to prevent it from getting in and out. And so you've got all these problems, again, with the faulty gas, what they call a gas mask, which is a protective mask. We know the M17, the M40, the U.S. military series masks are defective. We know the masks that are provided to the police are defective because when we did the research on it and tested it, it didn't work. And so you just got a real, real nightmare, much less, and again, we have to come back to this. We have to remember, when we go in and destroy these nations, it's not just the chemical or biological munitions or the radiological munitions, but you have all the hazardous materials that are released whenever we destroy an infrastructure. And these are devastatingly horrific health effects at very low levels. And I think, Joyce, I mean, you're a nurse on this stuff. We have, when we have an exposure of one or two things, these are synergistic in nature, aren't they?
Well, absolutely. I don't think people understand what it would look like if chemical weapons had been used. I think those are phony pictures myself. I don't think they're real.
Yeah, it doesn't add up for what we know from firsthand experience.
And I think also that they don't talk in terms of how the United States is selling them. That's the other thing, is that we're aiding and abetting all these countries to do it. You know, tomorrow morning I'm going to have Ron Paul on the program, and I'm going to talk to him about the use of chemical weapons on behalf of the United States, that the fact that they have used them, and ask him his opinion on that, as well as the issue of depleted uranium and all those things. I'm going to confront him because he should have full knowledge of what happened there. One thing I want to mention is that on the chemical suits, the MOP suits, mission-oriented protective posture suits, the United States government bought 897,000 of those suits from a company called Isratex, I-S-R-A-T-E-X, an Israeli company. And they were defective, totally defective. Every one of them proved to be defective when they tested them later on, which means they had to have known that because they do their own quality control, you would think, before purchasing or when purchasing. And so the company Isratex was brought forward on charges. However, they all escaped back to Israel and nothing happened to them except for a $10,000 fine. So tell me that this is not all by design. I mean, everything works in the favor is using the U.S. For using the U.S. military as some kind of guinea pig. It's still going on. They kick them to the side of the curb. They don't care. And they're left out there wondering how in the world they're going to be able to make it after they served their country, believed they were doing the right thing, you know, for God and country, and they end up in this mess. And that's the tragedy, is I think we're getting ready to see more taking place. You know, I'd be interested in knowing if the other guests have any idea, Denise or Patricia, on what is really the military plan at this point. Or I mean, we hear missile, you know, the cruise missiles, but what else might be utilized during this time? They say no boots on the ground, but they want to be able to have a caveat should they go need to rescue people, which means there's probably already our people already on the ground there.
Well, the troops are on the ground. They're in both Jordan and in Turkey. They're ready to go in immediately. Now, I got another...
Which would mean our troops would be gassed as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're
unprepared. That's what that would mean.
Point.
Our troops would be gassed.
Good point, Patricia.
I mean, that's something we better take into consideration. And this is something we should think about before we go into the Middle East again. This is what our troops are going to be encountering in so-called modern warfare, is CW, chemical warfare and or biological agents. This is a whole new ball game that we are unprepared to contend with. And I have no idea what the strategy is that Obama is contemplating, except for the fact that he can do nothing but harm the health and welfare and safety of the people in Syria, throughout the Middle East, and our own troops.
One thing that's just come out, and neither both of you have worked with me, and we've tried to get this across, and I just got this in the mail, and this is brand new. Patricia, I know you've been totally involved. Joyce, again, you're a reserve officer. The Journal of the Reserve Officers Association for the United States of America, it's called The Officer. In the brand new issue, that's September-October 2013, the front cover is, quote, chemical casualties exposed to dangerous toxin, reservists battle for benefits. I mean, this is an incredible leap for ROA to actually acknowledge this, because all three of us have been, and Denise and others have been totally involved, because we've been officers, trying to get them to acknowledge, admit, and help us get medical care for everything. So for have an organization of this quality and this type, and they have, you know, we've had guests from ROA on the program before in the archives, to actually put it on the cover, chemical casualties exposed to dangerous toxin, reservists battle for benefits. That's an incredible leap. But the question is, when will people pay attention? The members of Congress know and disregard it. The members of DOD and the Pentagon know and disregard it. All of us have had our best buddies. We've worked with them for years. They disregard it all, and they go out there, and there's no accountability. I mean, how do we get accountability for what is happening or about what is about to happen?
I don't think there is any accountability, because it is a rogue government. I literally believe that. About 7 years ago, I went down to ROA. It was a huge ROA meeting and support in Springfield, Missouri. And generals were there and colonels, and everybody was, a large number of people. And I challenged them, and I said, I'm going to challenge you with depleted uranium, giving you copies of this. And if it is not accurate, then I want you to get back to me. If it is, I want you to take this and do something with it. These organizations are 501c organizations. They can't do anything. They come under the control of the U.S. government. I mean, you know, people will debate whether they're directly or indirectly under control, but they are. And so these organizations are not going to do anything. American Legion, VFW, they are not going to do or say anything. You know, at one point when I was going around talking to veterans, the American Legion, their commander, the national commander, sent out a statement that I was not allowed to use American Legions. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about the benefit of how to treat or what to treat or the illness of the Gulf War veterans, and they don't want it in their facilities. I mean, that's what people can't understand, Doug, is it's going to have to be the American public coming forward, and it's going to be massive resistance in which they say, not no, but heck no. I mean, there's going to have to, if this president decides to go ahead and go forward with this war, then there's going to have to be some serious resistance on the part of the people, because it's going to be, you know, gas prices are going to go sky high, which is also by design, and the unavailability of oil, which is going to mean that there's probably going to be supply line problems. There's going to be so many problems we cannot even imagine that will come out of this devastating agenda.
Well, King Abdullah, who is now the king of Saudi Arabia, and he was the crown prince in charge of the Saudi Omri National Guard during Desert Storm, and we worked with him, he could, at a moment's hesitation, shut off the pipeline. I mean, he could make it a decision. Wait a minute, how many are you going to attack? You attacked again, you attacked again, you attacked again. And all of a sudden, they just shut the pipelines off completely, and we go from, 15 or 20% of our current, you know, imports, what we need to spend, to zero, and there isn't anything there. I mean, it is just ludicrous to think that we can unilaterally decide to attack a sovereign nation without justification, that poses no threat to us. Because if they did use chemical weapons and did this stuff, to me, that would be up to the Arab League, those nations there in the immediate vicinity.
That's correct.
to
That's
take
correct.
Action and not for the U.S. and France and England to take action.
The Arab League is not supportive of this, and NATO is not even supportive of this. So how, what in the world would make Obama think that he is godlike and can, in fact, strike unilaterally despite the opposition of the American people? If indeed he does this, I say it's time to impeach him.
Well, it's more than that. I think you've got a rogue president who has, he thinks, who is being told by his handlers that that's what he is supposed to do. And I think that's exactly what we're seeing is, he looked, when he was at that St. Petersburg news conference, I mean, he looked pale. He didn't look like he really believed in what he was saying. He was only there. He met with Putin for 20 minutes. He did a photo op, and he returned to the United States. Because this is not about any kind of coalition joining behind him. There is no coalition, you know, unless you want to consider France sending wine or something for the war and Mexicans sending salsa. I mean, that is about as much of a coalition as we have. But people don't understand that, and they still think the president is the president, and whatever he says, he is a rogue president. And I don't know. I don't know how much of a military coup there could or would be. I don't know what's taking place. But I do think there are people behind the scenes saying, you have got to be kidding me.
You know, one thing that frightens me, and this has come for those who have been involved in combat operations, providing medical care, cleaning up the messes, and different things, and myself, Vietnam, Desert Storm, and then writing all this current stuff and trying to put medical plans together, is we have to deal with the realization of all the ethics and morality ourselves. And so, I mean, we've all dealt with this ourselves. We've dealt with people. Patricia, you're always dealing with people. Joyce, you're hearing from people on a daily basis where the PTSD is devastating the former military, the current military, because they're hitting this moral and ethical crisis and going, what did I do and why did I do it? And I was lied to and I bought on it and I did it. And now where does this take me? I mean...
Well, it looks as though the American people have seen through the lies of Iraq and are beginning to see through the lies of Afghanistan, and they recognize that the only people that profited through all of this is the so-called military-industrial complex. We were spending more than $1 million a minute. Certainly, it's in their self-interest to continue to promote war however they can. And one can only look at this rationale as a means and a way of promoting warfare. To continue along this way is to head toward the path of destruction for the entire nation. We cannot afford to engage in warfare any longer. Financially, physically, we can't afford this.
And think about it, Patricia. We can't even have tours at the White House because there's not enough money. Give me a break. Let me also tell you, I received information from someone involved in the missile surveillance system in this country, and it was shut down August 1. It was totally shut down August 1. Now, there was a news release that came out that the funding was withdrawn and there was not enough money to continue it, and as of September 1st, it was going to be shut down. But the true date was August 1. There is no missile surveillance system. There's no incoming surveillance system. Now, this surprises me a lot, given the fact that it is almost a setup for this country. I know this to be a fact. I know that it was done. I have confirmed it. And there's something major going on that is above and beyond just, gee, we need to teach Assad a lesson.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, as we're winding down here, again, we're providing information. Education is very important. Go to GaryKnoll.com. Get the documentaries that Gary Knoll has done on Gulf War illness and the veterans homeless. Joyce, again, you want to give more information on the Power Hour and how to get beyond treason, please.
Okay,
where can they listen to you and everything?
PowerHour.com. You can call us and tell us if you would like to get a copy of the video. We'll send it to you at no charge. We've been doing this for about 5 years because we want people to understand the experiments that have been done on the people without, on the military, without their knowledge or consent. You can go to beyondtreason.com or thepowerhour.com, or especially there's excellent information at gulfwarvets.com where you can download that confidential classified document on Agent Orange. And I would encourage anybody to listen to the Power Hour also. Like I said, we're going to have Ron Paul on tomorrow, and I'm going to ask him some hard questions, too.
When is your radio show on, and how do they listen?
7 to 10 a.m. Central Time, 7 to 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can go to thepowerhour.com, and it'll tell you how to listen.
Okay, great. Well, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're providing information, education, the information, the documents are out there. You can go to GaryKnoll.com, get the documentaries, get the Beyond Treason documentaries, listen, get the information yourself. Make a common sense decision. It's extraordinarily important. The health and safety of our troops, the health and safety of the nation, the health and safety of the residents of all these nations depends on our actions. And as I always said when I'm going out, and Joyce, you and I have been together, we got to be the ones that start peace. If peace does, if peace are going to hope for it, we got to be the ones that make it happen, aren't they, right?
One step at a time, one act at a time. Thank you so much for allowing me to
be on. Well, ladies and gentlemen,
to war.
Thank you again, and we got to remember, God's going to make a decision on what we do and what our actions are. I don't want to be there when he comes down with the final assessment if we don't do what's right. So anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Let's hope we do everything right. Speak up and do something right. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good evening.